More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. If you've ever been to the ballet or watched a performance on PBS, you might have noticed the young dancers performing off to the sides of the stage or filling out a crowd scene, the ones that are lined up in neat rows behind the prima ballerina.
These are usually the dancers of the second company. Most are between the ages of 17 and 22. All have finished their formal dance training, and as members of the second company, are part of an advanced trainee program, like the one run by the Milwaukee Ballet Company. This week on Lake Effect, we'll find out what that experience is like.
Contributing producer Lucian Jung spent the last year following some of the dancers in the Nancy Einhorn Milwaukee Ballet 2 program as they battled insecurities, injuries, and the polar vortex, all in the hope of launching their professional careers.
Most major ballet companies have a second company. Students audition to get in, and if accepted, are offered year-long trainee contracts. Some will emerge from the program as highly skilled artists, ready to move into the first company, while others will quit dance altogether, either by choice or circumstance. Allison Chavez, the community outreach director at the Milwaukee Ballet, explains.
We have 20 students every year who come in to continue their technical training. So they're here to train and they're here to dance with the company, which is pretty typical of other second companies. But all the work they do for the community outreach program is what I think makes our program so unique.
Students in Milwaukee Ballet's second company, known as MB2, participate in about 100 outreach events a year, all run by Chavez.
I was asked to come here and start the community outreach programs, and those entail anything where Milwaukee Ballet is going out into the community to educate people about the art form. So we do a lot of stuff at senior centers and schools and children's hospital and hospice. One of the best things about my job, actually, is getting to work with the dancers. You know, I can talk about ballet all day long, but I have them with me to bring the art form to life.
Officially, Chavez runs the outreach programs, but unofficially, she's sort of like a den mom.
I help them get adjusted to the program, so I help them move into the dorms. I make sure they're getting what they need while they live here. That might entail talking to their parents or taking them to the grocery store or taking them to the doctor if they get sick or injured. Just kind of helping them through whatever situation they're going through, so I do work really closely with them.
And that's important because dancers in the MB2 program travel to Milwaukee from countries such as Brazil, Japan, Mexico, and France, and from states such as Montana, Florida, California, and Connecticut.
Hi, I'm Catherine Manger. I go by Katie usually. I'm 17. I grew up in West Hartford, and I was fortunate enough to study in one of the strongest dance schools in Connecticut, the Hart School. I guess it all began around 5 or 6-ish. My mom and signed me and my brother up from gymnastics. I guess it was never really meant to be because I never really fell in love with gymnastics. And I remember when I was 6, my mom took me to the Nutcracker at the Bushnell. I remember seeing these women being lifted into the air by these men, and I said, "Mom, I really want to do that. Am I going to be able to do that with gymnastics?" And she goes, "No, they don't do that in gymnastics. That's ballet." I go, "Oh, I really, really want to do that." So when I was 7, next following year, she signed me up for lessons. And I don't know, I guess it just clicked. I really, really loved it.
How is gymnastics training and ballet training different?
Well, from what I can remember, gymnastics, we weren't doing a lot of, you know, difficult movement. We were just mostly toddlers tumbling on the ground. So we were just learning how to somersault and how to handstand and jumping into this big pit of styrofoam. And I don't know, I just didn't really enjoy it that much. And ballet right away was so interesting with the teachers. I mean, going every day and trying to improve on something, improve your body, improve your performance aspect, improve your artistic ability, and trying to reach this level of perfection that we can never reach is just, I guess it was just really interesting to me. Really, really interesting.
Like most young dancers, Katie spent her summers honing her technique at 4 to 6 week dance programs. They're known in the ballet world as summer intensives, But it was the unique opportunity to study in Spain that opened her eyes to what a dancer could achieve creatively.
Spain was incredible. The dancers over there were always working on something, even if it was their arms or their fingers or the position of their head, like down to the tiniest detail of something.
Improving technique and artistry takes time, which is a scarce commodity for those in second companies. MB2 is a one-year program, with invitations for a second year extended only to dancers deemed especially talented. This includes Garrett Glassman, a 24-year-old from Grays Lake, Illinois. Like Katie Manger, he fell in love with dance at a young age, but it took him a while to come around to ballet.
Yeah, for probably 3 years, I only trained in hip-hop and breakdancing, and I really wanted to be a professional breakdancer when I first started. I was 10 years old, and I think part of it was because I did enjoy dancing, and, you know, that's the age in your life, if you're a male dancer, when, you know, you can get picked on for dancing. I think part of me staying in hip-hop for a while was like, oh yeah, guys, I dance, but it's hip-hop, it's breakdancing, it's actually really cool, like, look what I can do, and you can't. And then eventually, after a couple of years in hip-hop, the teachers, you know, said that I had potential, and of course, any dance school, if they have a young boy start dancing, they want him to, you know, stick around. And so they encouraged me to try jazz and tap. And I was like, you know, that's for girls. I can't do that. You know, if everyone's going to tease me and pick on me. But eventually they kind of shoved me into it.
From jazz and tap, Garrett progressed to lyrical, a style of dance that blends jazz with ballet.
The same thing happened. They got me to try it and I fell in love with that. And they said, if you want to improve your lyrical and your jazz and all these styles, you need to try ballet. And it took a while for me to, you know, to jump in, but eventually they got me to try it. They actually had to create a class for myself and the one other boy at the studio called Boys Technique. If they called it ballet, we weren't going to take it. So they called it Boys Technique, and it was just working on, you know, the basics of kind of ballet, you know, a kind of a mix of ballet and jazz techniques, and basically a way for us to advance, you know, in our training without feeling like we were ballerinas.
It was at age 13, after moving to a new dance school, that Garrett developed a deeper appreciation for the art form.
You know, it's different for men than it is for females to do ballet. It's not, you know, dancing on point. It's, you know, big, strong jumps in the air and turns and lifting girls over your head. You know, it takes a lot of strength. And so I was exposed to that through, actually I had two male ballet teachers at this new school, and then, you know, they immediately threw me into the more advanced levels to try and, you know, catch me up because I was so far behind. And then they encouraged me to go to some summer dance programs to further my training. And so I did that for 3 or 4 summers in a row.
Although his interest in ballet blossomed during high school, Garrett decided not to pursue a second company contract after graduation. Instead, he went to college, where he studied dance performance.
Yeah, senior year of high school, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do, whether it was dance or something else. So I didn't actually apply to colleges until really late, but there was a guy from my dance school who was 2 years older than I was. And I, you know, I guess around my junior year of high school, I had heard from him that he got a really big scholarship to this college called Butler University, and he was going to study dance. And after my mom heard, oh, wow, like a dance scholarship for college, like, you know.
At that point, are you thinking about a career as a professional dancer? Are you thinking?
No, absolutely. That was the goal, pretty much. Like I said earlier, you know, when I graduated high school, I didn't know if I wanted to dance, partially because I still didn't feel like I was going to be good enough. So it was basically just a way to further my training.
Attending Butler helped build Garrett's confidence. But he's an older dancer entering his second year of the MB2 program. He has less time to make the transition from student to professional.
Everybody was new last year, and so that's kind of where the competitiveness comes in. You know, you're constantly fighting to say, you know, hey, look at me. You know, you want to make sure you get that, you know, that step in and show them, you know, I can do this. I've been training for this many years. I've had this much performing experience. I can take your instructions just as good as the company members.
Rolando Yanez has been the director of the MB2 program since 2001. It's a position he accepted after retiring from his own dance career with the Milwaukee Ballet. Over the years, he's watched as countless dancers soared and then stumbled, while navigating the pitfalls and high expectations of an industry where it all comes down to the audition.
Every time that we go audition, we tell them, it's all, you have to blend with the main company. You have to be pretty much at the professional level before you even can audition.
And success as a dancer isn't always about having the perfect body or a perfect form.
I like to have a lot of diversity in the group. I like people that have personality. Sometimes they are not the best dancer technically, but then that personality bring the artist part of the dancer. Then sometimes you can find somebody that technically is really good, but then it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tell you a story. It's no feeling. Then sometimes I see somebody that's not that good technically, but it has that feeling, has that storytelling, then it's totally worth it investing in that.
But even the most supportive teacher must be blunt in his appraisals.
We observe of them every day. We give corrections. If we see something that's not going the right way, we right away talk to the dancer. You are on the right track, or you need to work a little more in the artistic part. You know, your technique is good. You need to continue working that, but I want you to pay more attention the way that you move.
What is a great dancer?
To me, a great dancer is all about passion. You know, you need to be able to tell the audience how you feel without even say a word. You know, even if you stand, the audience need to feel what you feel.
Hey everybody, at this time it's your 15-minute call, 15 minutes to the top of rehearsal. Thank you.
It's October and the MB2s are rehearsing for the opening show of the season, Romeo and Juliet. The company is separated into two groups, Cast A and Cast B, which alternate performances. On this day, Cast B has an afternoon rehearsal, and for Katie Manger, it's her first time performing with the Milwaukee Ballet's professional company.
We're getting ready for the top of the dress rehearsal show for Cast B, and we have to wear full costume, but we don't have to wear makeup.
Trailing the MB2s are wardrobe assistants, ready to fix a busted seam or help dancers in and out of bulky costumes that are secured by multiple zippers, buttons, and hooks. A quick change area is set up just off stage, where Andrew Wingert has only moments to get ready for the next scene.
I was just doing Lord Montague. I'm the cover, so really I wasn't supposed to be doing it, but it was kind of fun to step in.
How quickly do you have to change?
I said this is like a 3-minute change. I thought it's probably long.
The Romeo and Juliet rehearsal is a repeating sequence of dancing, scene changes, and sword fights, starting and stopping with long pauses in between. I've been watching from the wings with Allison Chavez.
A lot of the MB2 boys are sort of the instigators of all these fight scenes, so they got to be trained by a real like fight coordinator. Sometimes with stuff like that, just the company does it, but the MB2s are really integrated into this part of it, which is fun.
Hey girls, tell us how the ballroom scene went.
Oh, at one point my partner got his hand delayed because of my costume/cloak. I don't know. I feel like everybody's a little overwhelmed with the mask and the hat and the costume and the dagger.
With the Cast B rehearsal finished, Cast A takes the stage later for the evening performance.
From ancient grudge break to new beauty, where civil blood makes civil pounds upon the moon.
Did you feel totally prepared tonight?
With today's tech rehearsal?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like
long. Time with the orchestra. True. I know
with
for me, it's my first time with a professional orchestra. And so, like, even for the prologue, I'm being a dead body, and, like, the intensity just, like, hit me, you know?
It's so different.
Yeah.
So different.
I'm shaking just from being on stage with that.
What do you think?
We were talking about how old the is.
How good they are.
They look so good.
They're amazing.
Yeah. I'm so intense. Like, I'm always crying on stage. Like.
Now that Rolando Yanez has seen them perform with the company, he's feeling confident that he selected the right students for the program.
They look very professional. Even it's hard to know when it's a company member and MB2 dancer.
They're a good group.
Yeah, good group.
So. Now he'll have different opinions next week when it's our MB2 show.
Oh, yeah.
Their first big performance is now behind them, but the MB2s have little time to rest before they start rehearsals for the next show. It's an intimate studio showcase that's scheduled for the following week. It's another chance for the artistic staff to evaluate the dancers to see who's moving forward and who's falling behind.
Contributor Lucian Jung produced our series on the Nancy Einhorn Milwaukee Ballet 2 program. We'll have the second part of that series on tomorrow's show.
That's all for today's edition of the program. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Stay tuned. Coming your way at 12 noon, it's Here and Now from WBUR in Boston and NPR. But right now, it's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned because Fresh Air is next.